Recent protests at Princeton University were intended in part to consider former Princeton and U.S. President Woodrow Wilson in a new light. Joining me to shed light on the controversy on this episode of That's History is Jonathan Zimmerman, historian at New York University. Jonathan, welcome to Newsworks Tonight.
Good to be here as always.
Jonathan, Princeton President Christopher Eisgruber recently said that Wilson's record on race is disturbing, and for him, the intent going forward is to make Princeton a more welcoming and supportive community for all its members. Now, many of the protesters and those who are sympathetic want Wilson's name scrubbed from many of the buildings and sites on campus. Where does that thoughtful discussion start?
Well, the president is right. I mean, Wilson's record on race is deeply troubling. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, when he became president, immediately segregated the federal workforce, and possibly even worse than that, demoted African Americans who had made their way through the civil service.
And prior to that, Wilson was apparently the last Ivy League president to maintain a policy of Jim Crow exclusion of both students and faculty.
That's true, too. Also, when he was in the White House, he presided over the screening of the notoriously racist movie Birth of a Nation, which he described as writing history with lightning. On the international front, the news was not good either. So at the League of Nations conference, at the Paris Peace Conference, Wilson blocked a Japanese proposal to include racial equality as one of the founding principles of the League of Nations, in part because he didn't want that principle applied to the United States.
The president is tasking the board, who does have the authority, the Board of Trustees at Princeton, to launch the sufficient investigation slash exploration into Wilson's role, potentially with the end meeting the goal of students, but that's to be determined.
Right. And look, I think that's a good outcome. I think it's good we're having this conversation, which is what the president ordered. But I am troubled by the idea of trying to scrub the guy's name from buildings or from the record, precisely because I think that if we did that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We do need to reckon with what Wilson meant for our country, especially regarding race. But there are other sides of him, too, that I think are extremely complicated that we need to know about as well.
For example?
Well, it starts with the fact that Wilson was one of the architects of this thing called progressivism, the idea that we need a much stronger, more activist state to address the consequences of 100 years ago, the Industrial Revolution.
Starting with his predecessor, Teddy Roosevelt
and William Howard Taft. Yeah. Right. The idea was the old Jeffersonian idea of the government that governs least, governs best, just won't cut it anymore. Not in an era where most people were no longer farmers, but work for others, especially in large factories and mines, where they lived not in the countryside, but in the city. The progressive idea was we needed a much stronger state in order to ameliorate all the negative effects of the Industrial Revolution. So we needed a strong government to regulate mines so people didn't die in them, and to regulate railroads for the same reason, to regulate food and drugs and meat. And we also needed a strong government in order to regulate big corporations. And Wilson himself was an enormously important figure in that.
But again, blacks and minorities were at best tangential beneficiaries of these policies.
At that time, there's no question about it. The civil service is a good example of that. The civil service itself was a progressive reform, the idea of having tests and other merit-based systems in order to select and promote federal employees. But of course, because of Wilson, racism, he didn't abide by the merit system, and that's a good example of the way that race colored all of progressivism. But progressivism also helped build a state, build the federal government, which, especially in later eras, was, and I would argue continues to be, an important protector of the rights of Americans, including minority Americans. So that's what makes Wilson's legacy so hard to grapple with.
Wilson and all presidents are, as you say, complex. And if this were merely an accounting ledger, we'd count up the pluses and minuses and arrive at an answer. Some would say, for example, as a counterargument, well, Presidents Washington and Jefferson had slaves. But with that, how does one come to a consensus and move forward?
I'm not sure we can come to a consensus. I think, again, back to the metaphor that the current president of Princeton uses, what we need is a conversation. And My concern is twofold. A, I want that conversation to be about all of Wilson's legacy, including his state building, which has been such an important part of the progressive legacy. You think about health care. You think about worker safety. All the things we argue about today in many ways are themselves legacies of the progressive era, and I want that to be part of the conversation. And frankly, as a historian, I'm also troubled by the idea that we would eliminate Wilson from a conversation by, say, taking his name away from things. I feel the same way about statues of Confederate leaders in the South. If you take away these monuments, if you take away these buildings, we won't actually engage in the kind of dialogue that I hope we engage in about Wilson at Princeton. We'll just stop talking.
Playing devil's advocate, was it inappropriate for Germany to take away all legacies of Adolf Hitler?
Look, I think different countries have different histories. Wilson is a hugely complex and problematic figure. But it seems to me that if you associate him or, frankly, any American president with Adolf Hitler, I think that what you've done is make any kind of conversation impossible. Wilson was a racist even by his own time, but he didn't preside over the genocide of millions of people. So he doesn't belong in the same frame as Hitler, and none of our presidents do.
Let the record duly note, I was not trying by way of analogy equating Wilson with Hitler. Also, then, let me go in this direction. It's not fair to make sports analogies, but perhaps equal to allowing Pete Rose or Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame with an asterisk noting their transgressions. Could there be a possible solution maintaining Wilson's presence, but noting on whatever monuments or plaques some of the more egregious aspects of his tenure?
Absolutely, and I would say that's what we're doing now rhetorically as we're talking about those asterisks. I think the Princeton students are correct when they say that the racial and the racist asterisk has been underplayed in the way that we have thought about and discussed Woodrow Wilson. And we need to include that asterisk in the discussion.
Let's asterisk this conversation. We'll pick it up again next time. Jonathan Zimmerman, thanks again for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thanks. It was fun.
Jonathan Zimmerman is a historian at New York University.